Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. My name's Nat James. My name is, I mean, how many podcasts and I can't even get my name right? Should we just, do you know what? I'm going to cut it. Nico can have that for the intro.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And this week, the team you might have thought would have won recently hasn't. And Sheffield United finally have. Let me introduce you firstly to our Brighton and Hove Albion correspondent, Sam Murray. How are you, Sam?
I'm good. Thank you, James. Hello, everyone. Hope all is good. Nice to be back on the podcast again.
Good stuff. I've seen you twice in 3 days as we're pre-recording on Tuesday night. And Sam was a guest at our live show on Sunday night. He couldn't tell us nothing about Brighton then. He's probably not going to now either. And let me introduce you to our Sheffield United correspondent, Ben Tomo Thompson. How are you, Tomo?
Doing good.
Good stuff, mate. Sam, I've got a hypothetical question for you. If I told you now on Tuesday night, you're going to Amsterdam. If I told you now you was going to win in Amsterdam, but your lot would be so knackered from it, they'd get beaten by Sheffield United on Sunday. Would you take that?
Yeah, I would. Which is, I don't know if that's the right or the wrong answer, but that away day in Amsterdam has, well, three away days in Amsterdam it is, but the actual game has potential to be, I mean, it's one of the biggest games I've ever played. So yeah, I'll take a win there all day long.
This is part of the problem. We discussed this in pre-season. Is there a huge emphasis on this Europa for your guys?
Yeah. I think we've seen that with the fans as well. They stand out, the fixtures, don't they? The Europa League fixtures, and we said this before, but because it's Brighton and we've never done this before, and we might never be able to do this again. I think the Europa League games do stand out, and you put a little bit more emphasis on them, and you hope we save the bigger players for those games, because Brighton fans are going to Ajax and we're expecting a full strength team. If we go there and start resting Mitoma and Dunk, it's not good. Yes, yeah, so we've got to go strong there.
Many Brighton fans know what the full strength team is, by the way. We'll get there, but
no, well, I'm not sure. De Zerbi knows. He likes three, and that's about it.
Who's the three?
Well, he's made a point a while ago about Dunk, Gross, and Mitoma being the most important players in the squad. Their attitude and their quality, and they've played as much as they can, those three. Apart from that, there's not much, according to De Zerbi anyway, there's not much that stands out. I think that's why we're seeing so much rotation, because the difference between a Gilmour and a De Hood or a Igor and a Van Hek isn't seen as enough to play one of them every single week. So yeah, it's Dunk, Gross and Mitoma, the key players, and the rest of the team will keep changing, I think.
And to complicate matters, we also had a back three recently.
Yes.
That was one off, was it? Or
it worked quite well, actually. It did work well because we've been kind of forced into it since the Stupinan got injured. We thought we'd miss him a lot, and we had Solly March cover at left back and Lamptey as well. And they, to be fair, they've both done a really good job. They're both injured as well now. So something changed. It was, yeah, it was more of a back three. Not really you had Dinga and Mitoma as the wing backs, but they were so high up. They were so advanced still, maybe a little bit wider than usual, but they were so advanced. So it was a back three and it worked well. It worked well. They had a lot more control and we had a bit more in the middle as well. So it's something we could see again. I think once the Stupinan's back, we'll go back to a more familiar back four. And that's what we played on Saturday anyway against Everton. So yeah, it might just be a one-off. We might see it every so often if players need a rest or someone gets injured.
So we'd never know who's going to play, and now we might get one of two systems. That would be doing De Zerbi a massive disservice. But let's say in terms of your back line, in any case, we could get a back four or a back three. Okay. Yeah. Tomo, how do you see this going to Brighton? Do you take any encouragement from the fact they've got a huge game 3 days before playing you?
Man, it helps a little bit, but you know, I don't see it's going to affect it too much. I can't see us getting anything, to be honest.
And here was me thinking, Tomo, you was going to rock up all happy and excited after winning on Saturday.
I'm excited we won. It's nice not to be the only winless team in the country. So, you know, it's, you know, I did take I was happy with the second half. The first half was atrocious. It's been atrocious since we lost in 12 minutes of stoppage time to you lot. And you kind of called it after the pod about how rubbish we were. And we've been really rubbish since then. So, and since we, you know, lost 8-0 to Newcastle, it's not been good. So.
I mean, that was going to shoot the confidence massively. And I think you tried to play a slightly more offensive system, ironically, against Newcastle. And I think that probably shot confidence massively. We'll, don't try that again, basically. The game seemed to get better for you. Ironically, Rhian Brewster got injured at the end of the first half, right, on Saturday.
Surprise.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate for the lad, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. But
it got better for you when McAtee came on, right?
Yeah.
What did he do in the game? Did he just change the system? Was it two up front with Brewster and Archer? Was it something else?
Yeah, so we had two up front with Brewster and Archer, and it was just literally like having two trampolines up front. He just hit him and came straight back. And they didn't even touch the ball. They couldn't even control the ball, you know. And they're going against Dawson and Kilman, so, you know, we were just launching it to them. What hope they're going to get, those two guys. So it was very, very frustrating. And they were just no confidence, you could tell. The ball went to them, they just kicked it. So when we put McAtee on, he kind of came, he played closer to Archer, kind of right behind him, kind of in the 10 role. And then we just came out, you know, went for him in the second half. I think it helped that it were raining a lot and conditions weren't very good either. And, you know, we actually had a good go in the second half. So I didn't see it coming that way. So,
I mean, I'm definitely going to steal that. I never heard that before. Touch for trampoline, but I'm going to keep hold of that one, mate. But Archer's got a great goal, right?
Yeah. So he was shocking all game, and he has been shocking really since Everton game. And he played well with McBurnie for the first half of the Man United game. So the only two times he played well since the Newcastle game was first half against Man United when we were competitive, and second half Saturday. McBurnie is a massive miss. I know you called it a couple of weeks ago. He basically is the only way we can get out and keep the ball up the field. So we had McBurnie there. It's a big miss. But
considering you lost 8-0 at Newcastle without him, and then the first game without him afterwards was 5-0 at Arsenal.
Yep.
To win on Saturday without him must be a big psychological boost for the players, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Archer, he's a great finisher, right? I mean, it's some finish he's hit that. But he doesn't get many chances. We don't create many chances. I think we had a chance for like 200 or 300 minutes before that. So that I can remember, you know, I'm cheering corners over here, throw-ins.
You sound like Tomo, that you're 2 points off safety, ironically, and actually finished Saturday 1 point off safety. Obviously, Luton got a very credible draw against Liverpool on Sunday. Everyone's written you off now, particularly more than the other three teams down there at the moment. The way you speak sounds like you still are as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got so many injuries. I mean, again, we've got all 13 injuries, so we have no bench. So there's really no one we can bring on to impact the game. Obviously, McAtee did on Saturday. But, you know, unless McBurnie gets fit and plays, and McBurnie's not really playing more than a handful of games in a row, and he can't play more than, you know, 60, 70 minutes when he does, we have to get McBurnie playing with Archer and McAtee in the team. But when we do that, we get too open and then teams attack us and we can't defend. So it's kind of very difficult to kind of get them free into the team to create chances, but also be solid at the back with all the injuries we've got.
Sam, how do you see them? Do you give them a chance to stay up?
I think everyone would have them, like most people would have them now in the three to go down, but there's a lot of teams that are quite similar towards the bottom. And I think if you can put a run together, get some players in January, they've got a chance, yeah.
You see it's 3 from 4, Tomo. It's beginning to look that way, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we discussed this when I was on last time. I said it was going to be lowest points record ever to stay up. I still think it will be. I see it very similar. I think we'll finish similar to what we did when we went down last time, 20 some points. I think we'll beat some teams that we shouldn't beat. But I don't see us staying up right now unless we get some plays in January, but we have no money, so it's kind of, I can't really see much happening.
Is there any movement on a potential takeover? Has there been any sort of update?
No. There's a guy, Darren Smith, who's close to the Prince on Twitter, who kind of leaks a lot of the stuff, and basically it's gone quiet, not going to happen, at least by January. So, you know, I think he's asking for too much, to be honest.
He probably almost wants, in a roundabouts way, I mean, you're not going to get yourself into a position, I don't think, where we could get to March and we'd go, you're safe, I don't think. Yeah. We might get to a position in March where we're going, okay, it really looks like you're going to go, for example. And then talks might, because for someone to buy when they don't know where you're at, and that obviously massively impacts the value of the club. Mm-hmm. I know there's been some talk with Everton that the value of the club might be a lot cheaper if they went down and stuff. I don't know if that sort of thing would be on the table, but I imagine a buyer would just rather wait and see what the situation is with Sheffield United at the moment. Do you think there's any way 27 points could be enough?
That's my only hope, is 27 points going to be enough. And I think it's very similar, like the four teams down there right now, all lacking confidence. You know, I think Luton's a little bit better right now. They have a system. But, yeah, I just does Bournemouth or Burnley spend big in January and buy some players, potentially? I know we and myself and Luton won't do that. I think we'll be very smart about it. So
yeah, you and Bournemouth and Burnley might, though, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking they're going to do, right? So that's the kick to me. We've got to get all these players back, and some of them are out a long, long time. I mean, Egan's done for the season.
Basham, you know, must be as well, right?
Well, Basham's done for the season, so we're down to Birmingham defenders. So
yeah, we'll come back and talk on some of them. We've obviously mentioned, Sam, about the importance of the Europa for you. Is this five games without a win a bit concerning, though, considering you started with five wins from six?
Yeah, it's. I think that there's been a noticeable change in form since Europa started, not just down to Europa. We've had a few injuries as well, which really haven't helped. It's a bit concerning. If you look at this stage last season, we're actually 3 points better off than we were at this point last season, which surprised me. But we're still up there. We're still seventh, and yeah, we're still on track. It's nothing to panic about. Some big games coming up, though. I think we'll be quite happy to see the international break and rest and recover before ridiculous amount of games again leading up to Christmas. I had a look earlier. We've got 8 games in 27 days in all competitions leading up to Christmas. So it's going to be tough. This fixture list isn't going to ease anytime soon. So we've got to get used to it. A little bit concerning the form, yeah. And we haven't been anywhere near what I was seeing last season, which is a little bit of a worry, I think, because it's not the Brighton we're used to. We're making a lot of mistakes. We aren't creating as much as maybe we used to as well. So hopefully we see a strong team on Thursday and we see what we're capable of.
I gave you quite a bit of criticism for your first half performance at Manchester City. And when I reflected on it, I was thinking afterwards, like, would I criticise anybody else for going to Manchester City and struggling? Did you hear that when I commented on it?
Yeah, I know you didn't like, you weren't impressed with the first half, yeah.
Do you think that was harsh? And it's okay if you did.
I think we're so used to Brighton going into every game now and having a chance. And no matter what the team is, we've always got a chance of getting something. And the first half is kind of like how it used to be. Going to Man City away, you kind of given up before it even started. So the first half wasn't very good. And again, it was another sloppy goal and it felt like the game was done pretty early on. Second half was a bit better. We got back into it and we had a chance the last 10 minutes. But no, it's not that harsh. No, it wasn't a good first half. And the game against Everton as well was poor throughout that game. Yeah, that was, we were lucky to get away with a point there.
Despite having 80% of the ball, is quite
that's
remarkable.
It. The first you look at the stats and 80%, and then you go down and you see two shots on target, and the only shot we had on target in the second half was a Lewis Dunk free kick from 30 yards. We didn't create anything, and it felt like 60 minutes in, it was written. It was just gonna be one of those that fizzles out, but we got a little bit of luck, and it was a big bit of luck, that own goal. We're all pretty happy to get away with a point there. We haven't been great recently.
It's part compliment, though, isn't it? That you're getting thought of like a top team with the other, with respect, bigger clubs in European contention. We're putting you in that bracket, so we're judging you like a good team. So if we see something we don't like, we're judging you negatively because everyone's giving you so much praise. Have you found that weird to accept?
Yeah, it would always be weird to me. But the standards raise pretty quick. The expectations that people have in the fans as well, you see it after a game like Everton or Man City, there's a bit of a divide where some people are saying, come on, we were down near the bottom of the league 5 years ago. And then some saying, well, look, this is what we're part of now. We're part of the big, you know, the top eight teams. We should be doing better than this. So, yeah, there's still a balance, and it will always be weird for me. But, we go into games and we think we can get something, which, yeah, a bit strange. But it's nice. It's nice to be one of the top teams.
Yeah, no. Listen, there's been so much praise for you. Tomo, you were nodding away. Do you agree? Brighton should be in that category. Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I kind of put them in the same category, you know, the top six, and games that away from home, I'm not, you know, expecting to get anything out of. So.
How well do you think they can do? Could you still see them as a top four contender?
I don't see why not. Obviously, it's always difficult on Thursday nights. It's always going to be always is for every team that does first time. But yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, you know, Brian's just such a good team. Basically what we would love to be, right, as a club. So
yeah, I mean, you've set the bar, Sam, for what many other clubs will be aspiring to on and off the pitch. It was interesting, Thomas Frank made some comments on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw that, Sam, about basically there was two ways to play against you. One is to go aggressive man-to-man, and the other is just to sit off and go real deep block. It's the real deep block that's causing problems, isn't it? It's a repetitive thing. Yeah.
That's what I would do. A deep block and stick two players on my Matoma, and you've got a chance, I think.
Tomo, what's your end? Are you going to go man-to-man pressing, or are you going to go deep block, mate?
Oh, low block for sure.
So is this, in a weird way, look, to be honest, we'd all probably think that Brighton will win on Sunday. But is this the sort of fixture that will give you a problem potentially, Sam? If you don't score early, right? You score early in these games is fine. If you don't score early, as was the case when my team played Sheffield United, it can become a struggle.
Yeah, for sure. We've seen this before, yeah. And there'll still be Brighton fans going into that game and thinking, oh, we know what's going to happen here. If they get something they can cling on to, whether it's 0-0 or they get an early goal, then it becomes really difficult. So it's not going to be, it doesn't feel like it's going to be one of those games where we can just, if we get an early goal, obviously it's sometimes it'd be a bit different. And we had it last season when we got an early goal sometimes and we got five or six in some games, but yeah. Other thing happened as well where it would be very close, very nervy, and almost feels like we're never going to find a way through. So yeah, it could go either way. Yeah.
So is there a creativity void in this team at the moment?
Yeah, I think we miss Estupiñán a lot at left back. It's not just defensively. I think going forward, we look like we don't really have another idea going forward. And also Solly March. A lot of our play right now is focused to Matoma, and there's some points where it's kind of just give the ball to Matoma and just hope something can happen. But yeah, it's the creativity, which yeah, on Saturday was a worry. I'm not sure what it is. It's the midfield. It's a few injuries, and Ferguson or whoever plays up front, to be honest, is kind of like a Haaland sort of role. They don't really touch the ball. They don't really get involved. They're there to poach and to finish if it comes to them, but everything's out wide and everything's to Matoma right now.
Is the solution, I mean, a lot of people at the moment would think the solution at the moment is just Pedro and Ferguson together. But it almost feels at the moment more like it might be one or the other, with perhaps a Fatty or a Lallana or even Gross higher. Is that how you see it at the moment?
Yeah, I love Pedro, I love Ferguson, and I think they could be a really good partnership. The way we've played in a few games is almost with two strikers, when it's been Pedro and Fatty. We've seen that in the Europa League a little bit, and it's a bit too much. When we had Lallana in there against Fulham, we had so much more control, a proper number 10 in there, just a bit more of a link to midfield. Yeah, so with someone like Lallana or even Gross a little bit further forward in the 10, it gives us a bit more control. And the way we're conceding goals at the minute, I think that should come first. I'm not sure if De Zerbi will change. He'll go all out, I think, still. But if we're starting every game with one goal to the opposition, it becomes a bit more difficult to win. Yeah, it's that number 10 which I think we need. I think we'll see a little bit more of Lallana from now on. And yeah, with all these games coming up, probably one or the other of Pedro or Ferguson.
We're all waiting for Estupiñán getting fit because we're looking at the fixtures going next five: Sheffield United, Forest away, Chelsea away, Brentford at home, Burnley at home. As a cluster of five, it's great. And I'm sure after this weekend's just gone with players getting sent off, hello, Matty Cash potential doubt, Dan Burn injury, is going to be a, well, if I knew Estupiñán was fit for Sunday, get on with it and get it done, now would be the time. But are we just overlooking the fact that you haven't kept a single clean sheet this season? And therefore, we'd need attacking returns from him.
It's crazy, isn't it? Zero clean sheets. Yeah, and he is attacking. In the first few weeks, we saw what he can do, but surely the clean sheets are going to come at some point. De Zerbi said a few times recently after games that he wants to see fewer silly goals. He really is putting a bit of an emphasis now on clean sheets, which hasn't worked too well.
Bullshit, is he putting emphasis on clean sheets? I,
he was happy
sorry,
after the
I'm going
clean
to call
sheet
him
last.
out. You know, I love him. I'm calling him out for that.
He clean sheet against Ajax he was very happy with, but yeah, we're still been a bit sloppy at the back. I'm sure clean sheets will come at some point, but we're not like we were defensively a few seasons ago. Well, even last season we were pretty strong at the back. So yeah, if you're comparing a Estupiñán to a dunk, probably wait around for a Estupiñán because you're gonna be wanting attacking returns.
Yeah, 15.9 expected goals conceded this season. I think ranks you 10th. It's better than my team, but we hadn't. I think Chelsea had about an XG of about 8 Monday night or something. So you're a mid-table performer in terms of expected goals conceded. But it always feels with you as well, you only need to give up one or two good chances and you'll concede. Why is that? Or is that just a perception?
I think it's just the way we play. I feel like when we give up a chance, it's a big chance. We're really obviously we know how risky De Zerbi is and how we play, and I wouldn't want him to change that. And it's benefited us so much more than it's negatively impacted us over the last season and a bit. So it's the way we play, and when you play on the edge like that, you give the ball away. And it happened last season a few times, and we did concede a few big chances, and we got away with it. This season, it feels like we give the ball away and we're punished straight away. So yeah, hopefully it improves when Estupiñán's back. I know his original time frame was around the period we're in now. I was hoping Ajax, haven't heard too much. We either rush him back because he is so important or give him a little bit more time to recover. Yeah, maybe if he misses Sheffield United, we give him a bit more chance of missing the internationals and staying at home with us. So not sure what's gonna happen now. I'd love to
We
see him on the team sheet Thursday.
repeat, obviously, we're pre-recorded Tuesday night. By the time you hear or watch this, it might be Estupiñán's in Amsterdam on the bench. Would you be tempted if he played 20, 30 minutes Thursday night to think,
Oh,
I'll stick him in, he'll start Sunday?
Yeah, it's it would be tempting, yeah. If he got 30 minutes, yeah, because then you could use the Sheffield United game as building some match fitness before a break. So yeah, I think we need him as well. He's so important. We need him more than ever because we've got nothing at left back. Lamptey was meant to be on the bench against Everton. He
Wasn't.
pulled out of the warm up, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be available for Thursday either. So we could rush him back in, could give him more time. I'm not sure, but see how many minutes he gets on Thursday if he's in the squad. And yeah, I think a few people would go there if he got minutes. I think a few.
So, Tomo, they've conceded every game. Are any of your trampolines capable of taking advantage of this?
I'm kind of torn on this game. I think it's either going to be a really close, we might scrape a point, or we're going to get battered. I can't really work it out yet. So,
Brewster, was it hamstring as well? with Bruce.
You know, Heckenbottom said he was his knee afterwards.
Oh,
apparently,
okay.
taking him off at 45. He's half time anyway, he said. But yeah, I thought it was his hamstring, but actually, he said it was his knee afterwards. So.
Okay. So Archer will play on his own up front.
Yeah, I can't. I think we'll start like we did the second half, McAtee behind.
Have you got him in FPL at the moment?
No.
No. If you did, considering playing against a team who you know will give up chances, even against you, would you have any temptation to start him this week? And I recognise that the majority of important and interesting FPL assets have good fixtures this week, but also be a number of people right now sitting there with a shitload of flags.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be too disappointed if I had him, you know, his first sub and a couple of risks, but, you know, I just don't really see starting any Sheffield United players or feeling good about starting them unless it's the bottom four teams are playing.
Okay, fine. So after Brighton, Bournemouth at home, Burnley away.
Yep.
That's going to be definitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think you need from, just forget Brighton for a minute, from those two games afterwards, what do you think you need from those two games?
Minimum 4 points.
Has it got to be, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Bournemouth's a must win. And then, you know, going to Burnley, I think if we can, you know, get through this game, we are getting a hide in. Get through international break, get some players back. You know, we're tough at home. You know, I know Newcastle's an outlier, but, you know, we played City tough at home with that low block as well. I can see us being Bournemouth at home. You know, and
yeah,
Burnley,
I mean, when me and Sid had an argument the other week about, you know, were you going to beat Derby's points total? And I'd be like, yeah, yeah. Because I know you'll get enough points at home.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't see you getting many on the road. But then Nottingham Forest didn't get many on the road last year. And it was their home form. And they started not great in terms of their home performances, right? Like they lost to my team. Fulham went there and won. Bournemouth went there and won. Now, admittedly, since then, I mean, it's two home defeats in like 20. It probably doesn't need that from you, but it needs you to probably be getting something in every other home game, for example, going forwards, I think, to give yourselves a realistic chance. Sam, a lot of this feels like it's got to be hypothetical from a fantasy perspective, i.e., here's a case for you. If you won comfortably Thursday night, let's say you go to Amsterdam, you're 3-4-0 up, keep dreaming, pal. You might be the way they've been playing. And De Zerbi goes after an hour, right, job done, Mitoma off the pitch. Would you give any consideration to captain him in FPL this week?
I think you think about it. If we can be pretty sure of a start, then he's got to be up there. Obviously, Haaland away at Chelsea, if he's fit enough, isn't the best. So it opens it up, doesn't it? And I think Mitoma would be up there. And if he was in my team, I'm not sure. I'm a Brighton fan. I don't want to double down. But
you're a Salah owner.
I've got Salah, yeah.
Yeah. Would you consider captaining him over Mo? They've got Brentford at home.
It'd probably still be Salah for me, but it would be a consideration. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
there for sure.
There'll be a few, though, who might be sitting there on him and don't have, say, Saka or Salah. And to be fair, probably prioritising sorting that out. But there might be a few I'll go Son or Haaland, and maybe like the doubts are there, for example, now. And you think, I could go for it. Certainly be a differential captain without a doubt. Would he, if you could pick your favourite Brighton team for Sunday and you knew it and they were well rested hypothetically, is Mitoma the one you would want to put the armband on? Or would you, if you knew Pedro was going to start, for example, or Ferguson was going to start, would you be more tempted by something like that to go rogue? I think, by the way, because of last week, there's a few people will be looking at some rogue stuff this week.
I still think Matoma's a standout. So much of our play goes down his side. Close second would be Ferguson, because it feels like the kind of game where he can get some points. And the way it's landed for Ferguson, with he's starting the Premier League games, and it feels like on Thursday it's going to be Pedro and Fati. So there's a decent chance that that he gets some he starts on Sunday and his minutes look good. So Ferguson would push Mitoma close, and as a complete differential, if you're looking at ownership as well, it wouldn't be a bad shout there at all. But yeah, if you're looking at the team, I think it's always going to be Mitoma. You'd feel safest anyway.
That's interesting. That he's got one attacking return in the last five, which was, we would have to say, the fortuitous assist. Everton over those five fixtures, which admittedly does include Villa away and games against Liverpool City, XG of under one, XA of under 0.5 across all five. This is nothing there in the data. And I realise you haven't had a home fixture in that period like the one you've got coming up, but that would be one hell of a gamble. Would you advise people to get him in? And again, I kind of guess this depends how we sit after Thursday night, admittedly, but if he comes out of it safely.
Yeah, yeah. And even if he plays 90 minutes on Thursday, we know how much De Zerbi loves Mitoma. So, he's probably, well, I think Mitoma, bringing him in, a lot of people will be looking there now. We've got a few injuries and it's a good fixture and he's our key player. So, yeah, I wouldn't overthink it too much. Got a few other options in there now with Adingra. I think he's another option, but it's just the minutes, isn't it? We're just not too sure. I think if you look at the with Mitoma minutes, if you look at his, like, the pattern of fixtures we had last time, when we had the Europa League game, we had the away game on a Saturday, we had Marseille on the Thursday, and then we had a Premier League game on the Sunday before the international break, and he played 90 minutes in all three, so could see something like that again. Transfer him in this week, I wouldn't talk anyone out of it.
Would it be a few on Maddison, and we don't know the status at this stage, for example, but the flag would be enough to make people look elsewhere at similar price, a bit cheaper. You've got Jared Bowen as an option. Obviously, Eze's back for Palace would be an alternative to Mitoma as well. I think we know what we get from Mitoma, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. You know what you get. And if you're bringing him in, you know you're going to keep him for the next few months, he'll tick over and he feels safe. If you're gonna punt and then move to an Embuemo soon, then yeah, maybe you could skip it altogether. So yeah, it depends, but yeah, longer term, you know what you're getting with him. I think
Adingra, I've been quite consistent saying to people the last few weeks, yeah, that would be the one. If I ever get an A or B at the end, kind of under 5.5, and Adingra, punt it. Brighton fixtures are good, and of course. Will feel like, with respect, Tom, I feel like it peaks now with Sheffield United at home. But I have to say, Cole Palmer impressed me massively on Monday night at White Hart Lane. And I did think, I'm definitely going to want him in a few weeks. Am I better off just going down that route? And I can't see him coming out the team because he's too good of a footballer.
Yeah, I agree. And we spoke about Adingra before the City game on Clash of the Correspondents. And I wasn't interested fancy football-wise because of Solly March. Obviously, that injury changes things pretty drastically. I played my wild card and I was between Adingra and Palmer, and I thought I could make the move to Palmer a little bit further down the line. I'm gonna have a punt on Adingra. He started both. He's got good minutes in the last two. He becomes the obvious choice at right wing with Solly March out and Ciso out. You've got Buonanotte in there in his appearances, he's got potential, and I think maybe if we didn't have all these injuries, he might have got a loan out. So he's kind of he's not quite first team ready yet. He'll get minutes, and in these home games, it's always a little bit of a worry. He gets a start, but Adingra's looked, he's sharp, he's confident, a little bit wasteful against Everton, but yeah, I do like Adingra. If I had to pick one of them now, Adingra or Palmer, I would probably go for Palmer though, but. I had the punt
even with the fixture this weekend,
yeah. I feel like I'm going to make that move eventually anyway. But Adingra is not a bad option though, because I can't see too much changing. March won't be back for a long time, and Ciso, you're looking at the new year. So if we stay with a back four and it's him versus Buonanotte on the right hand side, Adingra's going to get good minutes. So it's a really nice option. And I'm
looking across the last seven Premier League games, he started six and he's played at least 70 in all those starts. Played only 70 against Fulham, played 84 at Old Trafford, 87 against Bournemouth, but 90 minutes against Liverpool, Man City, and then 89 against Everton at the weekend. The 90s against Liverpool, Man City tells me that he's trusted as well.
Yeah, yeah, and he always looks pretty lively when he comes on. He's got the confidence. We can't really do much else on the right wing with the injuries, and even Adingra himself isn't really a right winger. He came in, he played on the left hand side out on loan a lot, so even him, he's kind of filling in a position where maybe he's not as comfortable. So it's kind of, he is the obvious choice at right wing, and De Zerbi would have him in his best team, I think, now because of the options. So yeah, he's gonna get good minutes. It's always one of those that you are checking the lineups when it comes out just to double check he is starting, because who would be completely shocked to see Buonanotte start on Sunday? No one. But I've got him in there. It's a punt, and hopefully he gets a start against Sheffield United.
Sam, you'll know on the deadline streams every week, I do the predicted lineups now, and I'm keeping the track of the percentage that I'm getting right. You won't be surprised to know that your team is by way my worst in terms of predicting lineups and stuff.
Yeah, kind of get the keeper surprised. Right.
Sheffield United is one of our best. They've only normally got about 11 fit players from week to week.
Sure.
Tomo, have you got any Brighton assets at the moment?
I've got Mitoma.
What are you thinking?
So I've got Salah, Mitoma and Saka. Kind of leaning Mitoma.
What, for captaincy?
Yeah.
That's fan view, isn't it?
No. I don't know. I guess I'd tell him, I could see this being 4-0, or I could see this being a 1-1.
The problem is you might captain Mitoma and you get 1 point, mate.
Where FPL's going at the moment, probably. But yeah, I mean, I think it depends on minutes Thursday night, right? So if he comes off early, and I don't know. I'm torn, because I also think Burnley's poor too. So I'm tossed up between him and Saka, I think, right now.
It is, of course, a weekend before an international break, which means conspiracies as well, Sam, right? He missed the last international break with fatigue. Oh, it's Sheffield United at home for an international break. Give it a weekend off. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, or play him for 95 minutes and then complain about how tired he is. So he's got to miss the two
yeah,
weeks.
True.
But yeah, it would be nice if he could stay in Brighton for the international break, I think.
Tomo, any interest in any other Brighton assets at the moment?
Stupinan, I think, would be one. We've not been great set pieces. I think Dunk, one week punt, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dunk scores at the weekend.
Two prices, isn't he, Sam? You don't kick clean sheets. And I know he's taking direct free kicks. He's been really unlucky recently as well.
He's getting closer.
The disallowed goal at Everton as well. What a finish that was.
Robbed of a screamer there. But yeah, the free kicks, he must be scoring them every day in training, because there's no debate. He picks the ball up and I'm taking this every time. And he's getting closer. But in a price, 5 million. I'm surprised he hasn't dropped in price, actually. I checked his price earlier. I was expecting him to be under 5 million now, considering he's probably averaging fewer than 2 points a game. But
I mean, he is. So 20 points from 11.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. It's the way
and that includes the fact he has scored his 8-pointer against Liverpool.
Yeah, of course. The way the fixtures fall, you'd love it if a Stupinan was fit this week. But I'd probably just wait on Dunk and see what's going on with a Stupinan and go there instead for the same price.
Okay. Tomo, Sheffield United players in your squad at the moment?
No.
Not even Archer?
No.
You're getting Bulldog back in though, aren't you? Come on.
3.8, I think it's pretty good. Bulldog was great on the weekend.
He played right-sided centre-back?
Yeah, it actually worked out pretty well. Bogle played well second half. Like I said, I think Bulldog's key for us. It's just his attitude, his leadership. You know, he's a great defender. You know? Okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put him on Mitoma the weekend. That's my only hesitation there in Mitoma.
I was going to say, if he's going to play right-sided centre-back, that will obviously diminish his chances of the odd attack in return. But if he's going to get in the penalty area and do his 5.4s and stuff, mate, then you'll still get bits, won't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you think it was a pen?
No, it's never been a pen. But, I mean, how many of them have we seen this season, though? I was shocked that we got it, because we never get any VR go our way. We've had some tough ones.
Look, at 3.8, he has to come into consideration just purely by default of a player that's going to play regularly, even if it is right-sided centre-back now, because of the issues you've got there. If something happens to Bogle, he probably goes back to wing-back and you find a different solution. How far away is Armin Hodzic? So I guess that's going to put a pressure potentially on that position.
I think he'll be back for Bournemouth. He won't be back weekend, so I think Bournemouth is a good chance he gets back for that, so...
So how would you see, once Armin Hodzic fit, how would you see the back three centre-backs being?
Well, I'm intrigued because actually Anel's played better at centre-back than he has at right centre-back this season when he's gone there.
Okay.
But Trusty's been really good.
Yeah,
he's done well. Yeah, he's good. He's good. And Robinson's been probably our most consistent best player, which was I was most worried about. Robinson's been really good. And, you know, that long throw, it's a weapon for us, right? We need it. So, from Robinson. So, I wouldn't be surprised with Baldock. I don't know. You know, I could see him playing right centre-back some games. I could see Anel playing centre-back or right centre-back. But I think it'd be kind of harsh to drop Trusty. So, I have a feeling they'll play him back at right wing-back and, you know, maybe in Bogle on later in games or I don't know.
I mentioned on our live show, Fulham. In reference to having an eye on them because of good fixtures in 13, 16 and 18. Your 18 fixture at Villa is not good, but Bournemouth at home in 13, Brentford at home could be reasonable in 16. It's not ideal, but it's okay. It's two home fixtures there. And interestingly, I think a few might get the next week and think, I'll get Baldock and I'll play him against Bournemouth because I don't want to play Shimikas at Man City, for example. Or I don't want to play Cash at White Hart Lane. Or I don't want to play Udogi against Watkins. And it might be people get there. I've looked at it and gone, could I? I mean, is that advisable? And I guess from what you're saying there, he's not a certain starter, unfortunately.
Oh, Baldock.
Yeah.
No, I think Baldock starts. I think he's vile to our team now.
So you think once Armin Hodzic comes back in, there's every chance we go to right wing back instead of Jade Bogle?
Yeah. I think he's either playing right wing back or right centre back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What have you made, and this is non-FPL questions now, what have you made of Luke Thomas?
Average. Exactly what Leicester fans said he was. Probably a good championship player at best.
Okay.
He's done okay. But, you know, there's been a lot of attacking and not much cover in front of him. Our biggest problem is we've got Souza and Norwood who just don't have any mobility. So when we get caught in transition, it's just flooding ours.
But the info we had was that Souza was going to be a bit of a ball-winning monster. Not really seen it yet. It
just isn't up to the speed yet, Lee, I don't think. You know, I think he could be a good player. He just looks a bit leggy still. I don't know.
Which kind of negates that you need to play three in there, really, rather than just those two, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean Gustavo Hammer having to constantly stay deep? I suppose it will do when you play two trampolines. But I guess once McBurnie comes back, he's got to still play deeper, right?
Yeah, that's his problem right now. I don't think we're getting the best out of him or either. You know, he's a good player. I just, you know, that's the problem is just we're just trying to fit them all in but not expose ourselves, right? When you've got McBurnie, Archer, McAtee and him, who is probably our four best attacking players, I just don't see how we can play all four of them.
Yeah. League One Wes? He started the season well, but is he League One Wes again now?
He's League One Wes. I don't know.
We read your Twitter, or at least Suge definitely does, as we know.
Yeah, I heard on the weekend. but yeah, no, I don't know if he saw the goal. Maybe I'm a little harsh, but against them and Manu, you know, and Manu Dallas.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think it was a little bit unlucky with the Bellegarde one because it does take a deflection.
Yeah,
but I said at the time, I think we should save it. It's a great shot from Dallow, but I think he gets two hands there. Keep it out, mate.
Yeah, and his kicking is just horrendous. he's terrible with his feet.
But do you know what? Like when he came to our place, and you do get a different feel about a player when you see him up close and live, like I said about Cole Palmer on Monday night. And when he came to our place, I know he got booed a lot and stuff, but I thought he seemed calm. He seemed in control of himself. Certainly, neither of the goals were his fault, for example. He looks all right, but I know you've been a bit critical of him again recently.
Another just good championship player. Kind of a trend across the team at the moment.
Are you just a good championship team?
I think so. I, like I said, at the start of the season, and Dyes just was out of Zaha, and we just haven't replaced it. That's my
would you class Leicester as a good championship team?
No, I'd put them better than that. So
would you class Ipswich as a good championship team?
Yeah, I guess good championship team, maybe.
I
don't really watch much of them.
Would you class Leeds as a good championship team?
Yeah, I would class it as a good championship team.
Would you class Sheffield Wednesday as a good championship team?
I think there'll be an okay League One team next season. The only thing that's keeping me sane is my group chat with my Wednesday friends.
It could be some one hell of an end of season party at Sheffield this summer, couldn't it?
Oh, it's pretty bad. I'm looking forward to the podcast on Thursday, actually. Yeah.
Yes, Money and Football Patreon podcast on Thursday is on Sheffield Wednesday, yes. Sam, couple for you before we finish as well. Ansu Fati, what have you made of him? What's his best position? I don't feel like I've seen much of him in a Brighton shirt yet.
No, he's... De Zerbi's definitely managing him. It feels like when he starts, he's only getting 65-odd anyway. There's sparks. There's signs of what we know he can do and the potential that he's got. The issue for him is obviously his best position, or the position he'd probably like to play the most, is left wing, and Matoma. That is Matoma's position. You're not shifting him out of that. So he's had to play sort of behind the striker, almost as a second striker with Pedro. He's been good. He's got a few goals now. So I'm hoping he can kick on. Quite surprised he missed the last... Well, he's on the bench for the last two games, so it feels like he's going to start against Ajax. So, yeah, I think we needed him, definitely.
Do you think he's getting preferential in Europe because he's got the experience with where he's come from? Is there anything in that? He hasn't played more than 45 minutes in the Premier League yet.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah. It makes sense, I suppose. Yeah, well, we need him. We need him either way, because we just don't have much to rotate up there without Nciso and without March. So
you've ruined the next question, Sam. What week am I buying Julio Nciso?
as soon as he's back, New Year. I miss him. We need him.
Once he's up to speed, he's going to be very popular, isn't he?
Yeah, it feels like he'll compete with Vidinga on the right, even centrally as well, similar to what Fati can do. So, yeah, it'll be nice to see him back eventually. He started the season well as well, and he's such a great player. So,
I saw he posted an Insta early December, but I don't know if you've heard different or if that's the usual. Benson Cole wanted to play game week one and Tottenham were like, sit down, mate. I don't know if it's one of them.
He probably won't be coming in and playing every single game. So I think we'll see maybe towards the end of the year, beginning of the new year. Once he's got some minutes, hopefully, we'll see him become even more important. He's a good player.
Game week 21, Sam, up to game week 28. Wolves, Luton, Palace, Tottenham, Sheffield United, Everton, Fulham, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Blimey.
That sounds stealing for Brogan double up, I reckon.
I didn't say there'd be clean sheets in there, mate, but I mean, Julio Nciso is down to 5.1. If by that point he's managed to re-establish himself... He'll probably keep going, wouldn't he? 5.0, maybe even 4.9. I don't know, because he did have a little bit of ownership going into the season, right?
Yeah, and he started well. He'll join the mix. He'll be in there with Adingra and Pedro and Fati, so it won't be nail starter every week, but it'll be another option.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you both. Sam, prediction for Ajax away first.
Yes, well, after our 4-0 win away at Ajax, Ajax away. They've just got a new manager and they've won two in a row, so they're probably better than what we saw at the Amex, because they were not very good at all.
I heard a few Brighton fans saying the worst team you'd played this season.
Yeah, well, they're probably probably close. I think because the expectation as well of Ajax, and yeah, they were really bad. It was easy. It won't be as easy as Thursday, I'm sure. 2-1 Brighton away at Ajax. Could you imagine?
Oh, I can definitely imagine, mate. I was probably expected, to be honest. And Sunday?
I'll go for a clean sheet. 1-0 Brighton.
So
I don't usually predict us to win. So two wins in a week is
such a bold job, mate.
1-0 will be a nice last minute, similar to Bournemouth last year. Last minute, Mitoma.
Let's find out if Tomo's built up his confidence during this podcast. Go on, pal.
I have, actually. It's quite a good podcast. 4-0, Brian. Mitoma's getting 2.
I like that. He's built up confidence and he's still got 4-0. What was he thinking before? Was you planning to come on here and say 6 or 7, mate?
I don't know. I just Brian's just a good team, and we're not very good against good teams.
It will come down to what you'll have heard me say, Tom. I think early goal. If you get it, Sam, I think it might be whatever team you pick, it might be something like that, because you're so brutal to play against. If you get in front, it can be like that Wolves game where it feels like a great example last year, where if you get early and they just keep coming. If you don't know, it'll be sticky. The way you defend certain moments, they'll be unapologetic in terms of attacking set pieces and stuff. They'll dive for penalties. I don't blame them. I think it's more likely to be the former, though. I don't know about 4, Tomo, but yeah, I'll go maybe 3-1, because you always bloody concede, Sam. One for the trampoline as well, Tomo. Thanks very much, guys. Sam, anything you want to plug before you go, mate?
My Twitter, at FPL Seagull.
Good stuff. And Tomo?
Yeah, it's my Twitter, FPL underscore Glad.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, gents. I'm off to Wolverhampton for my sins and punishment and another attempt to try and go top the league. So there's no deadline stream for me on Saturday. That means it'll be not the deadline stream on Friday. I think it's possibly going to be about 4 o'clock, to be confirmed, though. Ahead of game week 13, we will have 3 Clash of the Correspondents for you. I don't quite know the order yet, but I suspect it probably will be Newcastle against Chelsea with Simon Bibby and Gary Mance. We've also got Fulham against Wolves for you with Zara Curran and Bradley Parker, and also Brentford against Arsenal with Tom Med and Adam Pritchard. All 3 of them for you coming up during the international break ahead of game week 13. Just leaves me to say thanks again so much to Sam and to Tomo. Good luck, gents. Cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.